The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, there is enough sugar floating around the KVOI studios today to keep people fueled and energized forever. What, I mean, have you gotten into some of these chocolates?
Well, you know, a guy who goes by the initials of SC, and he's known familiarly as Santa, gave me a box of chocolates that are apparently very gourmet-ish.
And I think that you'll probably, before the hour is over, dive into a couple of them.
Well, I want to thank you for... Oh, I guess I gave it away, didn't I? Thank you, Bill.
And now happy, the kids will know.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. Still enjoying the final hours of being in my 60s because I'm already 70 in New Zealand and Australia. So it's kind of a strange in-between time, isn't it, for me?
That sunrise line is traveling around the globe of the earth.
A friend from Sydney said, the sun is just coming up here on your birthday. So what does that mean? Am I 69 or 70?
There must be a percentage of something going on in between there.
Anyway,
you're teetering, is what you are.
There you go. It is Friday, December the 15th, 2017. By the way, the program re-airs Saturday morning at 7. That's especially for Dylan Smith.
So it will be your birthday then. Right?
Exactly. Yes. It will re-air on my birthday tomorrow morning. The program is at 7. That's because for the early risers like Dylan and his lovely wife, are up on Saturday morning at 7. The dogs, actually.
We have a couple of dogs that do insist on disturbing things.
Joe Ferguson is with us today as well, the political reporter from the Arizona Daily Star, and he just opened up.
I couldn't help myself.
He just opened up his box of chocolates, and they're right in front of me. Maybe without further ado, we need to go to the live line and bring in Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Steve, how are you?
I don't need you guys interrupting my chocolate cake that I'm about to eat. Just sit around and chew online for a half an hour.
Why don't we just talk about food and sugar and all that stuff?
There aren't any political issues facing anybody right now.
No.
So. I would suggest, Bill, that you just get in a plane and fly west. You need to fly west, and it'll never happen.
Yeah, to keep it going. I mean, my gosh, if I head west, I've got Hawaii where it's 9:07 now. So, keep going there. Let's get into some of the issues. Jim Critchley, the longtime fire chief, has retired. Councilman, what is all this talk I hear about Police Chief Christopher Magnus being named the public safety chief with having police and fire under his purview?
Well, I don't think there's anything to that. What we're talking about, choking on chocolate cake, what we're talking about is a consolidation of the 911 communication center, so that what we're doing is we're moving the fire and the police dispatchers together into one pod, and so there's more efficiency built into how the center operates. While Critchley's gone, Chief Magnus naturally will be overseeing a lot of that function and the transition. At the same time, we're creating a public safety, or next Tuesday we'll be talking about creating a public safety dispatch center department, kind of a standalone. We are going to be doing a national search for a fire chief, though, and so we're not assuming that the police chief has the skill set necessary to walk in and start managing the fire department. So it's a title in transition and overseeing the consolidation, but this is not going to be something where we're going to have the police chief running the fire department.
Mm. Joe Ferguson?
It sounds like an interesting time, but how long could a national search be? I mean, do we have the police chief running the fire department for 6 months?
No, and first of all, Critchley's not gone, so he's going to be out at the end of the year, and Magnus will not be running, in quotes, the the fire department. We have assistant fire chiefs who are qualified to run their respective areas of the fire department, and that's what will happen. So it's not a situation where we're going to have a law enforcement officer out putting out fires and managing the people who do, and the paramedic trucks as well.
Dylan?
But to your question as to how long could it take, we don't know. I don't know. We're beginning the process immediately. There will be likely some in-house candidates who want to move up. City Manager Mike Ortega is going to, the same way we did with the police chief, he's going to take his time and do a national search. I would rather get it right than get it quick. We had several candidates for the police chief that went through a fairly rigorous vetting process, both with the executive staff around the city and with the community and with his own employees and the police department at the time. The same kind of thing will happen. So the fire union will get a bite at the apple. The community will get a bite at it. The executive team, leadership team at the city, will get to interview the candidates. And so this is not a sprint. We're hiring for the long haul, and this is a good job. You know, Tucson's a major city, and it's a highly responsible position. And so we're going to get a bevy of good quality candidates, and I think the position deserves a nice, slow, and thorough process.
Here's Dylan Smith.
Looking back a ways, you had some rather strong criticisms of the 911 system. Mm-hmm. What sort of problems are we seeing now, still, perhaps, that would prompt changes over there?
Well, just to rewind the tape a little bit, the problems that we were having back in around 2010 were calls being dropped and just the system itself, the software built into the system itself was substandard. And so operators would, the dispatch operators would have somebody on the line and the call would drop, or up on their screen the address wouldn't pop up. So there were multiple software issues that were going on. Those have been fixed, and so the situation now is that we've got updated software. The system itself is working well. The problem that we're hearing on a fairly regular basis there are a couple. Number one is wait times in terms of people being placed on hold when they call 911, and that's principally it. And so the second piece is having to run through your story a couple of times. And so right now the system is you call in, somebody says 911, what's the nature of your emergency, and the person starts walking through it. I've got somebody pounding on my window, I've got a fire, or whatever it is, and that person will then send the call to either the police or the fire dispatcher, at which time the person has to walk through the nature of the call again when the dispatcher picks the phone up. By consolidating the resources into one center where the call goes directly to a dispatcher who is trained in both police and fire protocols, the caller, the person making the 911 call, gets a dispatcher, gets and walks through the situation one time, and it'll expedite dispatching somebody to the scene.
Don't we see a lot of incidents where both police and fire need to respond?
Sure, yeah, and that's one of the values of having the dispatcher be trained in both protocols. For instance, if there's a shooting and there's a victim who's injured on the street, both paramedics and cops will go to that. In a situation like that, of course, the police have to go and clear the scene before the paramedics can walk in, so they're sure they're not going to get shot by, in an active shooter situation. But that's just one example of where both are dispatched at the same time. And so having the one single dispatcher in a position where they can send both at the same time will, again, expedite the response times. And that's the goal.
What about this narrative that is still out there that Chief Magnus, the morale is not good at the police department and we are very short of cops?
Well, those are two different questions. I've spoken to the chief and I've spoken to guys from the union and I've spoken to our command staff about both of those questions. So there's any time you bring in new leadership, there's going to be a group of employees who just doesn't like the changes that are being made. I fully support Chief Magnus. I think he's doing a very good job in terms of implementing some new protocols. One of the ones that he did almost immediately was he took some of the duty assignments and transferred them to officers, put them back out on the street. That increased the numbers of people that we had, officers that we had, able to respond to calls immediately and took them out of specific assignments. So some of the people who were in detective work or whatever the specific assignment were, I took exception to that. They felt as though they had worked their way up the food chain and had earned their right, in quotes, to have a specific assignment. We had a greater need in the community, and that is getting officers out in the street, increasing our staffing, and that's what Magnus achieved. And so he ruffled a few feathers that way. Management styles will change. There, I see a fundamental difference in style between how Chief Magnus runs the department and how Villasenor ran the department. So stylistically, there are differences, and that can rub people differently in the wrong way. By and large, though, I believe that the police department employees are happy with what's happening. With respect to staffing levels, we have an academy in place right now. We are out recruiting to fill an academy that will fill in right behind that, and we're budgeted for it. So we're churning academies through. It's going to be a long process to fully staff the numbers that we have, because as you get 20 or 25 men and women through the police academy, you will have lost six or seven at the back end just because of attrition, for whatever the reason. And so we're playing catch up, and we are understaffed, but it's not as though we don't have our eye on that ball and that we're running new recruits through the academy right now to fill those voids.
All right, we have to take the break, but one of our you can think about this question during the break, Steve Kasacek. Someone just emailed me, one of our listeners. Please ask Steve if the 911 operators are going to be cross-trained on both disciplines. Will they be getting a raise?
Yes.
Okay. Yes to both of them?
Yes.
To both. Okay. All right. We'll take the break right here. You won't have to think about it during the break. It is Buckmaster on a Friday. Back with Steve Kasacek right after this.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to ICSTucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
The weather outside is frightful. Not here in Southern Arizona, but it's the season to think about your year-end giving. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona relies on contributions from generous people like you to help homeless pets in our community. Support their great work and learn more about how your tax-deductible gift can help build their new location at 635 West Roger Road, opening in 2018. Visit hssaz.org. That's hssaz.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, always ask for a gift receipt so the recipient can return or exchange a gift if it's not just right. Second tip, inquire about the store's return policy and pass along those details to the recipient. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A big thanks to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. That is the founder of that online news service is with me in studio, Dylan Smith. Thank you, Dylan, for your support since day one of our program.
Always great to be here.
Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun.
You almost got it.
Almost. I keep dropping, not pronouncing the H. Sahorita.
Yeah, you got to
call it.
Sahorita.
I'm a native. I can help you.
Tucson Media Group, they have Tucson Weekly and a bunch of other publications, Inside Tucson Business Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, Desert News, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans prominently supply our logo on their website. So there's a quick link. Joe Ferguson is here. Joe is the political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith, we've already introduced. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, is on our live line. Joe, why don't you pick up the questioning?
Well, first of all, you're really taking a chance there having these two competitors on. It's like having Allie Miller and Leah Marquez on the same show.
He's already trying to schedule that frantically.
Okay. That discussion, by the way, is coming up, and we'll hear what Mrs. Miller had to say about the possible run coming up. We'll have that clip for you from Wake Up Tucson at 6:30. We'll have that at 12:35.
Oh, you mean she didn't sit for a personal interview with either of those two guys?
She has not done a personal interview with me for quite a while.
Yeah, or any of you there. Hey, before you guys run off the clock, I want to put in a pitch for the Nova Home Loans Bowl.
Why don't you go ahead and do that right now?
December 29th, it's my anniversary. I'll make sure to buy my wife a ticket to the game while I'm working up in the press box. You can sit and watch it. This is the third annual. The New Mexico State is playing Utah State. The last time they played was in 19. Last time New Mexico State played in a bowl game was in 1960, 57 years ago. I believe Dylan covered that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And it's with the New Mexico State sold 4,200 tickets within the first 3 days, and the bowl committee expects well over 25,000, which is a really good turnout for you know, the Tucson Bowl. So I hope people support it. This is not about some corporation making money. This is about charity. Teachers, public safety officers will get support for any through any tickets sold, and you know, it's a big deal for the local economy as well. If we get 25,000 visitors into Tucson, that's hotel room nights. There will be block parties both before and after, the day before and after the game.
A flock of seagulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flock. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So and that's a band for the uninitiated who didn't know. And so yeah, I hope.
Or who have forgotten.
Or who, yeah, there is that. So, yeah, I hope people support it. It's a big deal for our local economy, and it'll just be fun. A lot of fun activities in the downtown core and around campus.
All right. We've only got 5 minutes left with Steve Kasachek. So, give us some real short answers to Joe Ferguson. I'll have one, and Dylan. We're all going to try to do one question in 5 minutes.
Or in the alternative, I could just run out the clock.
No,
with
I don't.
Joe.
No, not today. Okay, Joe, or I'll start. Is the deal with the U of A building the housing, where is that, the block of Speedway and Euclid, is that a done deal or what?
Not yet, but likely. This is the Honors College I think you're talking about.
Yes, okay.
We are waiting to see a land use agreement. The land use agreement would be between the university and the housing builder, American Campus Communities. Right now, that agreement is being vetted by the Board of Regents. When we get it, the city gets it, we will look at it to determine whether or not it passes, in our opinion, legal muster, and that is to say whether or not this deal should go through city zoning processes.
Great.
And I am guessing that the university's legal attorneys will check the right boxes and it'll likely move forward.
Dylan?
There are a couple of other projects that are getting some attention, creating a little bit of opposition. The planned residential commercial high-rise over there on the what's at the corner of Speedway and Campbell in that area. And then a word trickling around about some plans on 4th Avenue that a lot of people are getting worked up about. What are the status of both of those projects?
Well, the one on Speedway and Campbell is right now in the middle of a rezoning process, and to their credit, the developers, it's Richard Shankaro, is going out and doing a lot of public contact. The only part of that project that's receiving any kind of eyebrows raised is the fact that one portion of it is proposed to be 20 stories. This is a mixed-use, high-end residential condo project with a Whole Foods and lots of other retail. This is a project that has been in the planning process literally for 20 years. Joel Valdez was working on this when he was on campus, and so this is heading for the rezoning process. I have been in multiple meetings on this, and at every single one of the meetings, the room is filled with supporters, and then there are also people who don't like the number, the first digit being a 2 on one portion of it.
That's pretty tall.
It is not a 20-story box, though, and if you look at the renderings, you can see that they are being sensitive to the context. They've done everything from doing shadowing surveys to they flew a drone up to 250 feet, which is the height of it, to show what the people at the top story would be able to see in terms of people's backyards. So there, that's that one. The one over on 4th Avenue, there are a couple. I think the one you're talking about is, again, going to be mixed use. The piece facing 4th Avenue will respect the historic designation that the avenue just got, and then stepping back to the west is again residential, commercial, I mean not residential, but residential condos and market rate housing, not student housing. That's the reason both of those are not getting immediate pushback. The massing on the western portion is about 150 feet, so that's raising a few eyebrows too. But, you know, quite frankly, at some point within the community, we have to stop looking at height and looking at how and whether things fit a context. and is in the alternative, and I'll say this quickly because I know Joe's there.
Yeah, we've got a minute and a half. Go
okay,
ahead.
I'll say it quickly. Speedway in Euclid is a proposed student housing project immediately adjacent to two residential areas. That one is getting a lot of pushback.
Okay. Let's see if Joe can get a question in here. Okay.
Daily Star is going to put out a reader poll this weekend that say more people are coming downtown, but parking is still a problem. Steve, what's the council really doing long-term for putting more parking downtown? Or are they?
Yeah, well, we have plans first of all, each of the two new hotels that are going in, you've got the AC that just opened that's going to accommodate some extra parking, but also the Moxie, which is planned for the east side of the convention center, is also going to add more parking. There's a plan for a hotel, and they're all. So the short answer is they're kind of combined with other projects. The answer, we are not planning on funding a standalone parking structure, but the other capital projects that are moving into the area are increasing the parking capacity for the general downtown core.
Except for the one that's going into a parking lot at the TCC.
That isn't, yes, no, they are also. They're increasing parking capacity to the TCC parking lot. That was one of the questions that the Barrio Viejo folks had, is that they're already experiencing spillover parking when TCC events happen, like the hockey games or whatever. And so one of the conditions that we placed on that moving forward is that we expand the quantity of parking in the TCC footprint so that we can minimize that spillover.
All right, Steve Kosacek, thank you very much. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy the bowl game and encourage everybody to get out there Friday night, December. Well, actually, it's Friday afternoon, right?
December? Yeah, 3:30 kick.
Yeah, that's perfect, perfect this time of year. Hope you have a great holiday season. We'll see you out running around town and enjoying our cooler weather.
Yeah, and you all three enjoy the rest of the chocolate.
Yeah, we're going to get back. We'll get back right at it. Okay. Thank you. In fact, Tom Fairbanks has had two. Well, he's had one. Okay, well, you're now ready halfway through the show. How about two more during the next 30 minutes? And Joe Ferguson's had one. He'll have another during the break. Dylan's still to come. And me, I don't know. I've been eating too much already. But
so at about 12:57, you'll all go into a sugar dump, and Tom
yes!
will have to finish the show.
There we go.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot, all Steve. Right. Let's take the break right here. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
It's the most wonderful time of the year at Reed Park Zoo. Tucson's favorite tradition, Zoo Lights, presented by Tucson Electric Power. Enjoy the falling snow and live music as you stroll through the zoo with twinkling lights. Visit Santa at the Reed Park Zoo from December 7th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Plus encore nights 6 to 8 December 26th through the 30th. For tickets and more, visit reedparkzoo.org or stop by Metro PCS for your discounted Zoo Lights coupon.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on The Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off features Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. The Better Business Bureau has the monthly scam alert, some great holiday tips, what to look out for. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice, we have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. Second half now of our chocolate marathon.
I talked to a couple people on
chocolate marathon on the Buckmaster Show. Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. He is the political reporter who had a front page piece in the Star, but I don't really want to begin with that yet. We'll kind of get to it during the 10 minutes about worldview. That was a big win for Pima County, right?
It is.
Dylan Smith and...
Well, almost a big win. I'm sure it's going to go be appealed,
right,
so we
Supreme
will
Court.
Get another round of, you know, filings and et cetera. We'll see.
This was the appeals court.
Yes. Three-judge panel is different than the full panel of the Supreme Court, so... Yeah.
It was the 3-0 vote.
Right.
Basically saying, well, here I am talking about it.
Let's
just do it right now. Thank you, Dylan. Too much chocolate, too much sugar. Yeah, let's just do it now. What was the issue and what did the court say, Joe?
Well, the issue again was
economic development, right.
A $15 million lease for county-owned property, and what happens next. The Goldwater stepped in and said that it was a non-competitive bid and that a judge in Pima County agreed with him. The new ruling overturns that and allows the mission of the space balloons to continue.
And there are kind of two statutes, Arizona laws, that conflict a little bit. There's one that allows counties to do things for economic development purposes, such as work out a deal with somebody to build them a building and lease it to them to make sure things get paid back, if it will benefit the taxpayers, you know, basically with creating more jobs. There's another law that says that that counties have to put leases out to open bids, but it includes an exclusion for other laws that let them do it without bids. And the appeals court said, well, this other law, the economic development law, doesn't say you have to put things out to auction every time you want to do a deal like this. So the Goldwater Institute, who sued over this, has said they're going to appeal it to the state Supreme Court. We will see how things play out. But it's this one portion of the ruling from the appeals court was rather adamant, you might say.
All right. That's Dylan Smith, the editor and publisher and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Last night, Leah Marquez-Peterson, who is the head of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and who, by the way, I believe will continue to stay on. She will continue to stay on as president and CEO during her run for Congress in CD2, and that is assuming that Martha McSally will not be seeking re-election. And Marquez-Peterson has made it clear that if under some circumstance McSally decided she was going to stay in CD2, she would withdraw. Is that correct, Joe?
And stay at the chamber some more.
She would stay at the chamber. All right. So this sets up the question is still out there. Will Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller from District 1 challenge Marquez-Peterson? And Allie Miller was on the Wake Up Tucson show, and Chris DeSimone asked her about her plans to perhaps run for CD2. Tom, are we ready with that clip? Let's hear what she had to say.
I'm waiting for Martha McSally to make a decision. I certainly would not jump in and file a campaign committee against Martha McSally. Once she makes her decision, then I will make my decision. But right now, yeah, I'm considering it, and I've been contacted and by a lot of folks, and we'll see what happens. But until Martha McSally makes a decision, I think we should all sit back and relax and see what happens.
Well, we're not going to sit back and relax because we need something to talk about, and this is fun to talk about, right, Dylan?
Well, there's a whole there are so many elections that are going to happen in Arizona
goodness.
Over the next year.
There are so many moving pieces to this thing.
Indeed.
Tell us, though, what the law says about once Allie Miller, if she does go ahead to file the campaign papers, Joe Ferguson, she would then have to resign her seat.
She might also have to move, which is an important point to make, is that it's not clear where Allie Miller is on that thing. I know that Dylan's going to tell me that it's not really a big deal unless she gets elected.
Doesn't have to move.
Right.
The Constitution requires members of the House of Representatives to live in the state that they are representing, not necessarily the district they're representing, because the Constitution doesn't exactly require things be divvied up into districts at all. That's just kind of a matter of convenience to have people represent smaller areas. So you can, and it's been done before. There are members of Congress who live a little bit outside the district that they represent. It's a matter of whether the voters think you can do a good job if you know that place well enough. But if you do not live in the district that you are running in, that's certainly something that can be used as a cudgel to bash you around for being a carpetbagger, whether that's a matter of, you know, it being a few miles or considerably farther.
That could be kind of a nasty battle, couldn't it, Marquez-Peterson and Allie Miller?
That would be an interesting primary, but we've seen a whole lot of interesting primaries on the Republican side in that district over the years.
And I don't think that we should count out that there won't be others that would jump into this race on the Republican side.
Yeah, you know, there are tons of people looking at what's going on both in district, the other districts that are going to see, you know, we're going to have at least one special election and an open seat in Congress in Arizona this year. What is potentially going on with it seeming more and more likely, unfortunately, that we will have two Senate elections in this state next year. It's going to be a mad scramble.
So if Allie Miller does decide to run for Congress, that will open up the Pima County Supervisor's seat in District 1. How does that process work, Joe and Dylan? Can you fill us in on that, Dylan?
Somebody would be...
How does it work? I mean...
Somebody would be appointed to fill that vacant seat, and then there would be a sort of, if I recall correctly, a sort of midterm special election at the next county election to fill out the rest of that term, to sort of keep the terms going on track. But because it's... Allie Miller was just reelected last year. She's not halfway through her term.
Right.
Right.
As we've seen a number of times before, where somebody resigns after the halfway point, then the person who is appointed just finishes out the term. But this would be like a year and a half appointment, and somebody would have to, you know, face election again to finish up for the next 2 years.
And there is a requirement. I mean, it can't just be an independent or a Democrat. It would have to be a Republican.
The appointee?
Appointee.
You have to replace people with a member of the same party.
Right. And then the names would be put forward, as I recall the process. They would be all Republicans. And then the board would vote on that, the four members of the board. And one name that keeps coming up, because he did challenge Allie Miller in the last election, is Mr. Winchester.
Yeah.
John Winchester.
John Winchester ran against Allie Miller in the last primary. I discussed this a little bit with him. Basically got a chuckle out of him. I don't know how seriously he's taking the prospect of both
being
Miller running and then anybody really wanting to appoint him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly he got some rather prominent Republican backers in that primary, even though he wasn't successful. But he's told me that some people had, you know, brought it up over the past few days, but nobody, you know, from the Board of Supervisors or, you know, any major political players had really approached him, but wondering if he wanted to be the appointee. Maybe that's going on today, though.
Well, needless to say, but I'll say it anyway, it would really change the dynamic on this board, wouldn't it, Joe Ferguson?
Absolutely, it would. It would definitely change the voice and the dynamic that's working on right now with an entrenched politician just fighting with the board more often than not and is rarely successful.
So you also had a story this week. You are a busy guy, Joe Ferguson. You had a story.
He's been typing like mad.
I know he has. About what's going to – well, actually, this was a suit – brought by the Democratic Party against Martha McSally. Can you give us the thumbnail pitch on that?
Yeah, the Democratic Party is challenging Martha McSally, saying that she's running a silent campaign for Senate. And their biggest argument is a poll that was done that tests her viability against Kelly Ward that was printed in Politico. The argument is that a statewide poll that of this sort is very expensive, easily exceeding a $5,000 threshold required for these kind of polls. And the FEC says that once you do that, you need to make a disclosure. McSally's team says, listen, they're just testing the waters and that there is a exemption specifically by the FEC for that.
Hmm.
And was that poll actually even paid for by the McSally campaign, or was it paid for by one of the multitude of other Republican committees that could have been doing that?
It could be either way.
An actual violation? If you read the Democratic filing, which was a complaint filed with the Federal Election Commission, there's a whole lot of apparently's and it seems and a lot of vague language going on there.
We did talk to the McSally campaign, and so they acknowledged the poll, although they didn't necessarily acknowledge who paid for it.
Yeah, and they have a memo about the poll, but that doesn't mean that they wrote
right.
a check for it.
Correct.
All right. I want to send some kudos, Dylan, over to one of your great writers. I think he is I enjoy the heck out of reading Blake Morlock. Terrific writer.
You don't have to edit him.
Well, the piece is What the Devil Won't Tell You, Showstopper, Alabama Result Means Senate Control Will Rest with Arizona Voters. I think kind of the bottom line is that Arizona is going to be really important in this 2018 Senate.
Whether we just have the one Senate election that we know about with Jeff Flake leaving office and an open seat there, or if we have two, if we have to have an appointment and then pretty much immediately an election for the seat that's held by John McCain right now, either way, there's going to be a huge amount of attention
and
placed
money,
on the
money.
This is, you know, you wouldn't in absolute terms not exactly look at Arizona being a swing state. But this is going to be one where the Democrats will be looking at as a possible pickup, one of the very few that would fall within that realm. And especially if there are two going on here, the attention, the money that will be flooding in here, the unfortunately ridiculous parachute journalism by national mm-hmm. outfits with reporters who don't know this place coming in here and trying to tell us who we are, will be overwhelming.
It will be of historic proportion. I don't think that that's ever happened before.
And I think it's some groups are well-heeled to bring that money in and well-placed. So, you know, Allie Miller starts a campaign tomorrow. She's going to be, you know, several six digits behind, you know, the people she's running against in terms of Democrats down the road. So, you know, I think that's going to play a part in terms of the timing of all these different changes that are going on.
And where is Allie's support going to come from? The Bannon wing of the party, Joe Ferguson?
It's hard to say. I mean, she and Leah are going to be fighting over some of the same large name donors, you know, to succeed Martha McSally for the GOP nomination. And so locally, you know, the question is, you know, there's only a handful of donors that are going to give big checks out. But will other groups come in and back Allie or Martha or Leah based on a certain ideology? It's hard to say.
And how about Allie's recognition outside of Pima County? Because
she's famous.
District 2 has got some rural areas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not looking at the same composition of a district as she's been running for a supervisor. Donald Trump lost in CD2. Rather handily, you know. So you are looking at a very different electorate if you are looking at a general election. The primary, of course, is an entirely different animal.
Right.
And for both the Republicans and the Democrats, the sort of people who show up to cast primary ballots are very different, who
right.
shows up to cast a ballot in
All
November.
Right. Dylan Smith, thank you very much for what you do at Tucson Sentinel. We appreciate your support through the years, and have a great holiday.
Well, and, you know, I think so many people in this community appreciate what you do with this radio show, and I just want to really say happy birthday, and thank you so much for all of your service.
Thank you very much. And Joe, we appreciate you're kind of our newest addition to the Buckmaster team here on Friday. I'm glad you're a part of it.
And I'm happy to be involved. I appreciate you bringing me on this year.
Thank you very much. Do you have a piece in Sunday's paper?
We're going to be running a poll that the Star did with
you kind of mentioned the poll
a group.
About parking.
And so that's going to be a story we're going to have in Sunday's paper.
All right. Have a great holiday, both of you.
Yeah, have a good birthday.
All righty. We'll be right back. Matt Russell's next.
The weather outside is frightful. Not here in Southern Arizona, but it's the season to think about your year-end giving. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona relies on contributions from generous people like you to help homeless pets in our community. Support their great work and learn more about how your tax-deductible gift can help build their new location at 635 West Roger Road, opening in 2018. Visit hssaz.org. That's hssaz.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend getaway this will make over the holidays. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. That's the great starting place for all the fine accommodations in Silver City and a great list of places to stay and things to do, many great recreation opportunities, including just kind of hanging out in exploring historic Silver City. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. His work also appears in the Tucson Weekly, award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, our friend Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, hey, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Don't tell me, another brewery.
How many more breweries?
I don't know.
Arizona handle, Bill.
I don't know. Bring in the untouchables.
I tell you, that's a question I get all the time. But the newest kid on the block thought there was room for at least one more with his opening this week of the Corbett Brewing Company over on North Fifth Avenue. Now, they feature brews from other tap rooms across town in addition to their own, including a Stone Face Amber and a Hop Back Amber. Future plans also call for an on-site pizzeria. I think the registered voter to brewery ratio is starting to contract, Bill, and there'll be lots of celebrating this weekend at Corbett Brewing Company.
I hear Top Golf is coming to town.
Our friends in Marana have a fun new way to welcome the weekend. It starts today with the official opening, as you said, of the Top Golf Entertainment Complex. 53,000 square feet of playground with a driving range to accommodate 72 individual golfers, a rooftop terrace, a full-service bar, and a restaurant with some of the yummiest food that I've ever seen at a sports complex, like the fried chicken coated with a breading made with Captain Crunch cereal.
Ooh, Mike.
This delicious driving range is located near Costco and Marana, and the fun begins today.
Hey, Iron Chef time?
You know what? In true Hanukkah fashion, some local latke lovers will be convening at the Jewish Community Center tomorrow night at 6:30 for an Iron Chef-style latke showdown. Now, these potato pancakes will serve as kind of tasty foundations for them to work with. And after that, it's all up to them to take it to the next level with some fun and fresh flavors of their own. Now, in addition to the competition, there will be even more food, drinks, and a menorah lighting. And it's all just $10 a person. I love me some latkes, Bill, and this event really sounds delicious.
Great suggestions for the weekend. Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Our original theme music, courtesy of a fine young German composer whose name is Christophon. His work can be found on our website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to his album. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. My thanks to the entire team here at KVOI. Operations manager is Ray Allen. Ray also is my producer and engineer. He does a fine job Monday through Thursday. Then we turn over those duties on Friday to Tom Fairbanks. We love Tom's work, as well as our producer and engineer on the Friday edition of the show. Our production manager, and he's a really funny man, Jerry Cross. Thanks, Jerry. Lisa, Elsa, Rhonda in the front office staff, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this entirely locally operated and owned Tucson Radio Group. They do a great job. All of us wishing you a very safe and pleasant weekend. Back with you on Monday.